Trust the Lord. So, Brother Parker, will you please lead us in prayer?
Father, thank you again for today. Thank you for just the way that you superintend and direct in our lives. Thank you for this place, all that it's meant to us, to my family specifically. Thank you for Brother Chuck and his friendship, his mentorship. Father, I pray now specifically for this service that you would visit us with your grace and your power, that you would give Brother Chuck good recall of what you've laid on his heart and what he studied. Father, that our hearts and minds would be open, that we'd not be distracted by the circumstances of life, but that we would focus on you, that our worship would be sweet, that our response would be pleasing to you. And Father, may we get something from the message today that we can take out of this place and live on this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you please take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll look particularly at chapter 4. The book of Ephesians and chapter 4. I want to point out to you 5 different verses, and the emphasis that I'm making just now are 2 words, walk and therefore, those 2 words. So will you look at chapter 4? Would you look at verse 1? Notice what it says. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Then there are 5 characteristics in the next verse. How so? With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Then look at the 17th verse of that same chapter. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Then look at chapter 5. And let's look at the first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And then in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then the 7th verse of that 5th chapter. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, you say, well, you had therefore in 4 verses, but not the 5th. Oh, yes. If you will study it, you will find that the 2 words see then, they mean the same thing as therefore. And so, I want you to see this picture. Therefore, and then, telling us what to do. You see, every time that you have therefore, except when it says, see then, every time that you see walk, you see therefore. What is this? Oh, what it really amounts to is this. It is an exhortation. We are all given to exhorting one another. The Bible tells us that we ought to do that with each other. Now, when exhortation is given, do you understand that there must be explanation? Now, don't miss this. If you have exhortation, truth, but you don't have explanation, then all you have is frustration. Let's think about it once again. You are exhorted. Then the exhortation is explained, the context and all. That always, when done, avoids frustration. Have you ever had the experience of reading, studying, hearing, and you just didn't understand? And you thought to yourself, and you were frustrated. May I tell you that you have two pastors in this assembly, Pastor Craig Scott, Pastor John O. Scott, and they follow this very carefully. When they preach, the next time any of them preach, you'll hear one tonight, you'll hear an exhortation. And then you'll hear an explanation. And that always avoids frustration. We are fortunate that we have that kind of preaching. That is not so everywhere. That is not so in every church. I'm talking about good churches. But it is so here. So praise the Lord for that. Here's what God does. He gives us a doctrinal basis in the truth, in the Word of God. And that doctrinal basis is for our behavior. Are you listening? A lot is being done today to dumb down the idea of doctrine. I'm talking about Bible doctrine from this inerrant book. So much is being done to disregard it, doctrine, and then people are living instead of by the precepts and the principles and the doctrine, they're living instead by feelings and emotion. So here we have this idea given to us. You see, I'm exhorted, you're exhorted to walk in a certain way. It's described for me. There isn't any problem about understanding description when it comes to the walk itself. So I am to walk in a certain way. So the explanation of the exhortation gives me also the possibility of knowing how to walk. You and I, we have to, listen folks, we have to have our doctrine straight. Did you hear me? Don't miss that. And don't you discredit or set aside doctrine. We have to have the doctrine straight. That's what keeps us straight as we live a life for the glory of God. And so get this into your thinking. You can get this into your heart so that as a man, woman thinketh in their heart, so are they based upon the doctrine of the Word of God that keeps us straight so that we honor God as we live our lives in a daily way. Get this doctrine in your heart, in your thinking, in your hands, in your feet so that you have a sound grasp upon these ideas, and this will deliver you from many excesses and many abuses and many excuses. And if ever there were a time in life that we need that, it is today. I ought not abuse. I ought not excuse I ought not excess those things. I must be careful that my thinking is based upon the truth of God. My decisions that I make, I must make my decisions on the basis of the truth of God. God knows what He's doing. He has said so. He has given it to me now. And so I am blessed abundantly. But I got to pay attention to it. And I've got to live it. And I've got to give it out wherever I go. Amen. And so, here's an example. When you present the good news of salvation, a person hears the truth. And if their response is to take a step, positive step, if that response is there, to trust the Lord Jesus, if that is their response, to trust Him as Savior, then you and I in this dealing with them, helping them, the Spirit of God working in them, then we'd better be careful that in our discipleship that we're careful to explain that the step is one thing toward the Savior and to receive Him and to believe Him gives us on His part salvation. I hear it. I believe it. I must receive Him. I don't accept Him. I receive Him. He accepts me. And so, the first step that I take toward in believing and receiving, then that gives me the assurance of my salvation. But that step, salvation, must also become, after salvation, a walk. Are you listening? Walk worthy. Walk in the Spirit. You see, to be saved, but then to live it. And both are absolutely necessary and important. See, the step in becoming a Christian, but the walk is being a Christian. So I'm stepping then on, step by step by step by step, which is the walk. And so my Christian life, as I live it, is step by step in experience. Now, you will find that in the verses that we read, in verse 1 of chapter 4, you have the idea of walk worthily. In the 17th verse, you walk intelligently. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, you walk lovingly. And in verse 8 of chapter 5, you walk distinctively. And then in verse 15 of chapter 5, you walk circumspectly. All of those things are to be characteristic in the life of the child of God in this matter of new birth and then the walk. So, after salvation, I am going to walk where I've never walked before. And I'm going to quit walking where I used to walk. I'm going to think differently than I've ever thought before. And I'm not going to think like I used to think. The places where I go now, they are going to be different from what they used to be. Because in this process on the part of God, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things will become new. So I don't go back. I don't think the same way. And suddenly, it even affects my countenance. And it affects my motives and it affects my responses. And when I'm around other people, they know it. And I know it. And my family knows it. Because there is such a radical difference in my life now since I've trusted the Savior and I'm walking with Him. Such a loose day in which we live. And we must not let that looseness affect us. We must be straight arrows. I mean, here's the crunch. Our need to be nurtured, taught, helped in order that we might be strengthened as a baby. Because when you're first saved, you're a baby. And then as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so you begin to experience this great blessing. You see, your life, my life, is to make God look good. Now, He is good. But my responsibility in living is to live in such a way that it makes Him look good in the eyes of those that I'm around. And so I am to live so that it makes Him look good. But I'm to live in such a way that it makes Him look accurate. No flaw. No flaw. And that is possible depending upon your having surrendered to Him on a daily basis. So when you are seen as a Christian, the world watches carefully. Oh, yes. But you know something? God watches carefully. So the one who saved you, the one who paid, the one who gave His Son is watching you carefully because you're now in the family of God. You're no longer darkness. Now it's light. And as you live in such a way that you're doing what you can to be honorable, then that's described by saying you are walking worthy. That's Paul's emphasis here. So, here's the thing. You want to honor God. You want to serve Him. But you feel terribly inadequate. Well, yes. Yes, because you see, let me make it quite clear that your service rendered for God does not depend upon your ability. Instead, it depends upon your availability. It doesn't depend on your personality. It doesn't depend upon the gifts that God has given that set you apart. And everyone in this room is different from others. And you have some certain things that God has given to you. Gifts. And you're to exercise those gifts. And it can become noteworthy and a great blessing to the body, but it can't be done in the energy of the flesh if it's going to count for eternity. And so you and I, we have a responsibility. See, let me tell you about three stages. The first one is easy. You hear the gospel. Maybe for the 15th time. Maybe for the first time. Maybe for the 30th time. You hear the gospel. And in hearing the gospel, then you respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that the price has been paid at the cross of Calvary when the blood was shed, not spilled, shed on purpose. And as that blood was shed, it paid for the sins of the whole world. So then you hear and you understand it. And you make the decision by believing, receiving. That's easy. But it isn't long until you begin to face some issues in life. And suddenly you say, I didn't know it was going to be like this. You see, when you got saved, it didn't put you in paradise. You're still in a dirty world that hates God. And so in having trusted, having believed, having been saved, you face these issues and suddenly you say to yourself, this is difficult. You are right. You're also wrong. Because the third stage says, this is impossible. You listening? You cannot walk in the Spirit and do your own thing. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. The fact is, if people are saved and do not believe that the Christian life is impossible, they have not studied their Bible. Because the scripture says, and the Savior said, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, now, I think maybe that's rather plain. So that's why I make my statement. And so the Bible says about being what God wants you and wants me to be, proves the impossibility of it. And here's the thing. God says, here it is. God says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. And you and I say, well, we often do. No, always. We need to remember, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We say, well, I do sometimes. No. See, you see the impossibility of doing it without Him? Or when something happens and you fail and you remember the scripture and you say, well, you got to understand I have my moments. Excuse me? When God says always and you say I have my moments, you say this is impossible. You got it. That's it. Man, it takes a while to come to that. Because we like to take hold of something and we like to handle the reins of the horses that draw the carriage. Really? That's a mistake. See, now you begin to search for an answer. What is this matter of impossible and so forth all about? Well, you hear the songs and you are blessed by looking at a song that says, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what nobody else can do. He is able. And he never sleeps. And he never turns you out. And the throne room is always open. The door is never closed. And so, God has told me to live what is impossible to me, because he will make available to me all that I need to live something that is impossible. Do you remember that God says when you got saved, he has given to you all things? That is what it says. Well then, in reality, from the standpoint of what God has given to save you and given to you, you have it made. But that does not negate your responsibility. And that responsibility of obedience demonstrates your appreciation for the death of the Savior on the cross. Oh yeah. See, here's the point. God is not interested in my living up to the level of my attainment. He's not interested in that. God has something for me that will take me way past the level of my attainment. Living for Jesus is not my doing my natural level best. No. It is an ordinary man depending upon God in what God can do with that man in the supernatural sphere. And that's for every single child of God. No one left out. And so I want to be careful. I mean, to be saved, easy. But to walk with God, difficult. No, to walk with God, impossible. Then when you see that, sense that, know that, then you ask God, what is it, my Father, my Savior, my Teacher? What is it that I need to know, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? That I may know. That I may know. What is it that will make it possible for me to live above myself? See, this is when you come to the therefore. Therefore, such exhortation comes after explanation, and explanation comes after exhortation. It goes together. So you see the basis in that very first verse that we looked at in chapter 4. Walked worthy is linked to chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Here's the point. inside you, inside me, on the inside, God has placed a power. Every child of God, God has placed a power that is able to exceedingly do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You will never walk worthy independently of that power. Let me say it again. You will never walk worthily independent of that power. There are some children of God that live in such a way that they have pushed aside the promptings and the persuasive power of the Holy Spirit. They're saved, but they're not surrendered. And you need to understand that the power that God has given, it confronts you in all of the things where you're wrong. Where you're wrong. And in confronting you in your weakness, and you recognize it is impossible, then you have to understand that even in the life of Abraham, he made a statement of faith, then he took the step of faith. And that is always the way it is. And that faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, when it's preached and I get it, and the Spirit of God wants me to get it, that's why I better not be fiddling around with a device while the preacher's going on. Hello? That's why I must focus my attention and hang on every word, because this book is forever settled in heaven. And it is my responsibility in seeing it to obey it. You see, up until I began to see what I'm saying, my life, and I've had the privilege, that don't misunderstand me, I'm not bragging. I've had the privilege of being all over the world and preaching and singing. But until I realized it was impossible, all of my service rendered was full of enthusiasm and energy and hard work. Get her done. And personality. And so I served, but not surrendered. And here's the way it is. You surrender to that power, the Holy Spirit, and you watch God work. But now hear me this as I close. When you surrender, you have rested your case in the lap, the arms of God. That's your surrender. There's something else. You must submit. And submission places you at God's disposal. Surrender places you in His lap. But submission places you at God's disposal so that He can wonderfully, because your heart is right and because you'll do whatever He says do, it doesn't matter what it is. So it's surrender and it's to submit, and you're teachable and you're changeable in order that you might be usable. And so what's in this for me? What do I learn from all this? First, dear Lord, help me to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, please. And dear Lord, please teach me to walk in the Spirit. Oh God, teach me to walk in the Spirit. And dear Lord, please teach me the importance of this blessed love letter. Teach me the importance of that book, and then help me to place myself under the authority of the Word of God. That's what I learn. How about you? Do you understand? Is it on your part? Is it surrender? Is it saved and surrendered and submissive? If it is, then victory is just a step away. Help, oh God, that we as a body could be just like the Apostle Paul described it for the Ephesian church. As I close this message, let me remind you of something. You do understand that it was just a few years. Just a few years from the time that Paul penned by the power of God the words, the church of Ephesus, that God had to call them to account under the direction of John the Beloved. And said about the Ephesian church, you have left your first love. About 30 years. What does that mean? That means that it is certainly possible for me to go astray. I don't want to. No. My greatest fear, I told you the other night, my greatest fear is that I should pull some stupid stunt and forfeit the rest of the ministry that God has in mind for me. And lots and lots and lots of older preachers do that. All you have to do is check America, the scene right now. I don't want to do that. And after having been saved for these many years, then because of choices and foolishness, end up having great regrets. No, I don't want regrets. I want to rejoice and go home and have Him say, well done. How about you?